The hour of 6 o'clock having come and gone, I will call the Village Board meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3, roll call.
John Steinbrink.
Here.
Monica Uhoff.
Here.
Steve Komorkowitz.
Here.
Clyde Allen.
Here.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Item 4, minutes of the meetings for June 3rd, 2013, presented to board members in written form.
Second.
Motion by Steve, second by Clyde. Any discussion on item 4? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Serpy.
Our Public Works Director he's going to be late for a meeting now. I would ask that items A and B be brought forward now so we can hear him so he can make his next meeting.
Second.
Motion to move under new business items A and B forward. Motion by Mike, second by Clyde. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carries. That brings us to new business item A, consider resolution 13-12, certifying the creation, review, and adoption of the compliance maintenance annual reports for the wastewater facilities in the Village of Pleasant Prairie.
Mr. President, members of the board, every year the DNR requires us to complete a compliance maintenance annual report, better known as a CMAR. It's a reflection, it's really a self-assessment of the financial status of the sewer utility. Talks about different items as, you know, how much money that we have right now, what our replacement funds are, what our future planning, capital, CIPs, any sanitary sewer overflows that we may have. It takes a bunch of factors, and then we get a grade as a result of going through and calculating all those factors. And I'm pleased to say that we did receive an A as a result of the CMAR, so that Adam is good news. There are a couple things that we can do a little bit more. We're kind of on the low end of an A. We could bump it up, but those are things that we'll be bringing forth through the budget process. So I guess, and one of the requirements of the CMAR is having a resolution, which you have in front of you this evening. So if you guys have any questions about the CMAR, I can answer them at this time. Otherwise, I would move for approval.
Motion to approve resolution 13-12.
Second.
Motion by Monica, second by Steve. Any discussion on resolution 13-12? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item B, consider resolution 13-13, authorizing the disposal of surplus vehicles.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is that time of year where I get to show you some of those nice vehicles that we're getting rid of. Public Works is very excited to be getting rid of these. They have exceeded their useful life. First thing that we have is a diesel. It was a diesel regular pickup truck in 1994. The bed had rusted out, so we bought a used service body, and it's been the mechanic's vehicle. We were fortunate enough to go down to an auction this year and buy a nice used service vehicle, a little bit larger vehicle, a little bit newer vehicle. And we will be replacing it with this vehicle. The next one that we are getting rid of, I think, has been through pretty much every department within the village. I know it was by inspections, it was by CD, and then ended up over at Public Works, the graveyard of vehicles. And this also, too, has exceeded its useful life. And we did purchase a vehicle through the estate bid contract to replace this vehicle. So I'm looking for authorization to auction these vehicles off in July.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Steve, second by Clyde. Any discussion on this item? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That concludes items A and B. We'll go back to item 5, public hearing. First item being item A, consider renewal of the Class A fermented malt beverage license for the BP AMPM located at 10477 120th Avenue.
Ms. President, the village clerk can't be with us tonight. She prepared a memorandum reflecting the request of BPAMPM to renew their Class A fermented malt beverage license for the station located at 10477 120th Avenue. It was received by the deadline, and the reason we're holding it is because we were still working through the conditional use permit process for this facility. On May 28th, the village approved a one-year extension for the conditional use permit for this business. Therefore, the renewal application before the board is for consideration. It would still be only for 1 year. This Community Development Department, Engineering, Building Inspection Departments have indicated there are no outstanding code violations at the time. The Fire Department is waiting for a payment of a reinspection fee and two letters relating to its occupancy. There's also delinquent property taxes in the amount of $26,484.65. And the clerk is recommending that the license be renewed from July 1st, 2013 through June 30th of 2014, subject to payment of license and publication fees in the amount of $410, payment of delinquent 2012 property taxes in the amount of $26,484.65, payment to the fire department of a $50 reinspection fee from May 2nd, 2013, receipt of a letter to the fire department with respect to fire extinguisher compliance, and receipt of a letter to the fire department stating that the project complies with the comments of the village staff memorandum for fire and rescue dated November 8th, 2012.
This being a public hearing, I am going to open it up to public comment or question.
No one has signed up.
Anyone?
Anyone wishing to speak? Anyone wishing to speak? Anyone wishing to speak? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and open up the board comment or question.
You know, I don't believe it. Nobody from BP here tonight. Evidently, they don't want this being approved.
Well,
I don't know.
Mike?
At the Plan Commission meeting, Steve, we discussed a number of things,
yes,
including giving them a year's extension on their project, including, and so this would include and come due at the same time that the other licenses in the village would come due. So we kind of brought this all together so it would be a lot easier on staff and everybody else. And I'd move approval of the license subject to the conditions set forth by the clerk.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Monica. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
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 No.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. Trustee Komarkiewicz in the note. That concludes our public hearings. We'll move on to item 6, citizens' comments.
No one has signed up.
Anyone wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'm going to close citizens'. We didn't say politicians' comments. We said
citizens'. Good evening, everybody. I'm Van Wongard, and I'm just coming down to visit you because I plan on being your next senator from this district again, running for the state senate, and I look forward to working with all of you. I see a lot of familiar faces. You guys do a great job down here, and it's kind of fun to just sit and listen. So I'll be poking my head in once in a while. If there's something I can help you with, be sure that you let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak under citizens' comments? If not, I'm going to close citizens' comments, move on to item 7, administrator's report.
Mr. President, I want to remind the board that this weekend will be the Pleasant Prairie Triathlon, so we'll have some minor road closings throughout Sunday morning. We should be, all the roads should be open by 10 or 11, I'm hoping. I haven't heard the exact count of how many participants we're going to have, but I think it's going to be at least what we had last year. That's all I have at this time.
Thank you, Mike. Brings us to item 8, new business. We've already done items A and B. Moves us on to item C, to receive the Planning Commission recommendation. Consider ordinance number 13-21 to amend the 2035 comprehensive plan relating to the establishment of a new manufacturing zoning district generally located in the vicinity of State Highway 31 and Springbrook Road and along I-95 corridor south of State Highway 165. You want to do?
Mr. President, I'd ask if all three items, C, D, and E, can all be taken at the same time with separate action.
Board concurs. Gene?
Yep. The first item is item C, receive Plan Commission recommendation and consider ordinance 13-21 to amend the 2035 comprehensive plan related to the establishment of a new manufacturing zoning district generally located in the vicinity of State Highway 31 and Springbrook Road and along the I-94 corridor south of Highway 165. Item D, receive Plan Commission recommendation and consider ordinances 13-22 and 13-23 to create Section 420-125.1 of the Village Zoning Ordinance entitled M5 Production Manufacturing District and to amend Section 420-100A1 to include the M5 Production Manufacturing District in the list of basic zoning districts established by the Village. And item E, receive Plan Commission recommendation and consider 13-24 to rezone several parcels of land related to the establishment of the M5 Production Manufacturing District, generally located in the vicinity of Highway 31 and Springbrook Road and along the I-94 corridor south of Highway 165. The M5 Production Manufacturing District is a district that was recommended referred to the Village staff by the Plan Commission for review. Public hearing on this district and the related items were before the Plan Commission this evening. The M5 district would allow for specific manufacturing, production, and office-related uses on properties located adjacent to the Lakeview Corporate Park. The M5 district reflects an enhancement of the Village's public policy of sound and diversified economic development. While there have been and still are sufficient economic opportunities for the construction of warehouses and distribution facilities in the existing corporate parks, it's important to conserve land resources and economic infrastructure support in order to assist in providing more employment in the Village. The M5 district promotes and encourages production, manufacturing, and office-related employment as the primary use, with warehousing and distribution to be an ancillary or secondary use on these properties. The M5 district encourages and promotes more intensive land uses, which would in turn promote greater employment opportunities in proximity to I-94 and State Highway 31. The Village's goal would be to increase the number of jobs per acre, which is good for our community. The zoning text amendments would be to create, again, 420-125-2M5 production manufacturing, again, to provide for manufacturing, assembly, office, warehouse, and development uses with limited warehouse and distribution. Specifically, when I refer to limited warehouse and distribution, I'm saying that only 30% of the building would be able to be used for separate and distinct warehouse and distribution related services or office or uses. Specifically, if a company is manufacturing, for example, or assembling a product, and they are storing raw materials or distributing their product, that warehousing of that type of product is not to be considered as part of that 30%. So this would be already pre-assembled product that is being stored in the facility and then shipped out. That is what is limited to that 30%. Also to amend Section 420-100A1, and this is related to the districts, again, so that it's listed specifically in the listing of various districts of the Village within the text of the ordinance. Specifically, there's mainly three areas that we're looking for these zoning map amendments. The first area is south of 165 and south specifically of Mompers Woods, west of Green Bay Road, and north of Springbrook Road. The tax parcel numbers involved in this specific area are tax parcel numbers 924-122-273-0156, owned by the Citizens Bank of Maguanago, 924-122-342-0100, owned by Raven and Lind, LLC, and 924-122-342-0300, owned by VPX Farm, LLC, and 924-122-331-0150, owned by Raven and Lind, LLC. This is an area of the Village that is currently zoned M2, which is a general manufacturing district, and an AGO, an agricultural overlay district. This is also an area that is not in a heavy manufacturing area or high hazard area. It's already in a low hazard area of the M2. So what we'd be proposing to do is to change that M2 district, AGO, to an M5 district. Existing non-conforming agricultural uses would be able to continue on the property insofar as they don't discontinue that use or that ag-related use for more than 12 months. The next area is the area that is just east of I-94, south of 116th Avenue or south of 110th Street. And this is an area that is currently zoned A2, General Agricultural District. So again, agricultural uses are consistent on that property. There are, just like with the previous property, areas that are zoned C1, FPO for floodplain, C1 for wetlands, and shoreland overlay. Those areas would all remain intact on these properties at this time unless detailed delineations would necessitate their rezoning. The tax parcel numbers include 924-122-303-0101, 304-0200, 311-0200, 312-0305, and 312-0310, and these are owned by James Hart and Delane Farm Partners. The next property is 303-0300, owned by Reese Partners. 312-0100, owned by Otto Springer Trust, Revocable Trust, and 312-0150, owned by Kathleen Johnson. As part of the Plan Commission recommendation, one of the modifications that was made from them at their meeting was that the property that's owned by Dr. Reese, that's identified on this as... I'm not sure which one it was. There's one property that was identified for Dr. Reese's property, and I'll get the tax parcel number. It's this property here. Oh, you can't tell. It's not working. It's just immediately south of Premium Outlets, and Tom's going to... South of Premium Outlets, that is one property that was recommended by the Plan Commission not to be rezoned, to be left in its agricultural A2 designation, and on the comprehensive plan to remain as that commercial regional retail. So that's one property in particular that I'll have some further discussion on that is not proposed by Plan Commission to be modified. And then the last area is that area west of I-94 at approximately the 1300 block of 120th Avenue, the West Frontage Road. This area is currently zoned B3 Regional Retail District or A2 General Agricultural District, and the tax parcel numbers identified here are 914-121-254-0122, 254-0401, 254-0406. And these are all owned by the Pleasant Prairie Community Development Authority. And then a second property to the west of the CDA land is owned by Dr. Reese or the Reese Partners LP, and that's identified as 914-121-254-0301. As part of the request this evening are some comprehensive plan amendments. Again, one of the first amendments is to, in the area that's identified in green, right to the west of the I-94 and the West Frontage Road, is to include this area within the planning description and to amend map 1.2 to include the corporate boundaries of that parcel as well as the area identified, looks like a backwards or a forwards L, that red area. Those are the two areas that were recently annexed into the village in 2010 and 2013, respectively. Those need to be reflected as plan amendments for the comprehensive plan. Again, as part of the comprehensive plan amendment you have this evening, we need to specifically identify a general description of the production manufacturing district within the comprehensive plan. It's the same purpose and intent that's been identified as part of the zoning, but this kind of clearly sets forth what that district is intended for: manufacturing, assembly, office, research and development with limited warehouse and distribution uses. With respect to the comprehensive 2035 land use plan map 9.9, the map will also be amended and modified to reflect those areas with the letter P for production. So the three areas that I just referenced, again, just west of Green Bay Road, those areas will be identified on the comprehensive plan as the gray with for general industrial, but specifically related to the production manufacturing designation. They have an urban reserve land use designation at this time because they do not have fully, they aren't fully improved lots because they do not have sewer and water and public roadway directly to these lots at this time. I assume that that will happen at some point in the future when these lot areas do develop. The next area is that area just east of I-94, just east of the East Frontage Road, and those are the areas that were specifically being modified in the comprehensive plan from the red or that commercial freeway-oriented regional retail district, and they are going to be reflective of that production manufacturing. Again, the only exception on this map is that area that Tom had pointed to before that's immediately south of Premium Outlets, and that area will remain as this regional retail designation for commercial. The following, or the last, is the area west of the interstate, and again, just west of I-94 and the West Frontage Road, and again, this area will be reflective of that production manufacturing land use designation instead of the commercial designation, and the P for production manufacturing will be identified on the land use plan map. Again, there's narratives and notes that do need to be updated to reflect these changes as well. So with that, Mr. President, there are three areas that we are looking to modify, and it'll include zoning map amendments, text amendments, and comprehensive plan amendments. One of the things that was brought up at the Plan Commission meeting, the village has been doing a great deal of strategic planning for these districts, for these areas. We have been examining these areas for transportation-related improvements. We've initiated grant requests. We've initiated TIAs, traffic impact analyses, in all these areas to look at how the infrastructure is going to be able to handle the increase in employment that could be generated from these new uses that could locate in these areas. So we are working on some comprehensive plans in these areas as well, and all of these items will be coming to you in the very near future as we go through that planning process. So just to clarify, we have been working on this for quite some time, and we will be presenting all of this information to you as we advance through the process.
I might also add, in addition to Gene's comments, is that when you look at the strategic planning that the village has gone through to eliminate the blight along the I-94 corridor, taking the bookstores out, the fireworks stands, the RV yards, the military salvage yard, every swinging thing you can think of, and you know, we installed infrastructure that would provide, you know, the capacity to be able to treat, you know, to treat sewer and water, convey everything in there. And then on the east side of the interstate, you know, the development was done with Lakeview Corporate Park. The world didn't end at Lakeview Corporate Park. We designed it to be able to grow beyond that to provide additional uses. And we're at that point where that's a reasonable thing to take place. So there has been significant planning. And part of the problem, or maybe part of the issue, is that the plan was, I think, put together pretty well, and then since it enables us to grow beyond what we put in initially, and that infrastructure is there for us to take advantage of. So maybe in part the plan's a little bit old, but as I said in the Plan Commission, we need to be cautious with where we spend TIF dollars, because the state is going to penalize us for under a levy limit. We're not going to be able to get a return on something that doesn't have jobs. Even then, we won't get a return on it. At least we'll have an indirect impact on it. But our levy will be frozen. So no matter how much we grow, it doesn't mean it's going to bring more tax base. It's going to lower taxes, and we'll have to find ways to accommodate that growth. So it's all the more important that we don't create tax districts that are going to put in massive structures that are not going to be job intensive. So, and I think with that said, I think that the village has made a recommendation that the village limit any additional use of TIF dollars for other than existing established districts for warehouse and distribution.
Mike?
Since we've laid out the corporate park and created TIF districts, we've always had a a place where job creation could be had. And you just have to ask yourself, how many more jobs would we have been able to create in this park had we had a cooperative partner with the Kenosha Water Utility? And now to come up with a M5 district that hopefully get some manufacturing here that doesn't require a whole lot of water use is a good plan. Again, and I'll repeat myself as I said it before, I don't care if the factory ends up in Pleasant Prairie, Bristol, Summers, or Paris Township. If it brings jobs, it's good for the region. But right now we have the controller of the water preventing us from doing that. This whole thing's in the hands of the Public Service Commission. I hope they see this in the right way, and I hope they allow us to proceed forward and attract the businesses or the companies that can create jobs. Right now they're fighting us for it, and it's wrong. So I totally support this, all three of these items, and I make a motion on 13-07.
Second.
That motion is for 13-21? Okay. Motion by Mike, second by Clyde. Any further discussion on the motion?
I just wanted to clarify in the zoning text amendment that on page 9 where we talk about glazing for manufacturing, that I modified the 10% to 5%. So as you go through the process with the zoning text amendment.
So we're not making Krispy Kremes, is that what you're saying? Okay. And we need a roll call vote. Call the roll.
Okay. John Steinbrink?
Aye.
Monica Juhas?
Aye.
Steve Kamarkwitz?
Aye.
Clyde Allen?
Aye.
Mike Serpe?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion to approve ordinance 13-22.
Second.
Motion by Monica, second by Steve. Any further discussion on this motion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carries.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 13-24.
Second.
We have a motion by Clyde, second by Mike, for adoption of 13-24. We still need 13-23.
Yeah, we skipped it. You should have included it in 20.
Included in 22.
We'll do it as a separate thing.
So. I thought it was included. Okay.
We have a motion for 13-24 and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Going back to 13-22, do you want to include 13-23 with it or separate?
It's up to the mayor.
Motion to approve ordinance 13-23 and 13-22.
Second. Motion by Monica, second by Steve. Are they all inclusive?
I think we're all of them covered.
Right. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That concludes item E. Move on to item F. That is consider the request of Dustin Harp of Harp Development to amend the access restriction for Lot 63 in Ashbury Creek.
Mr. President, this is a request from Dustin Harp of Harp Development, and they're looking to modify and get an amendment for the access restriction that is for Lot 63 in the Ashbury Creek subdivision. This is located at the corner of 94th Avenue and 94th Court. Pursuant to the final plat for the Ashbury Creek subdivision, the driveway shall be located a minimum of 100 feet from the center line of 94th Avenue. Due to the slope of the property, however, the garage on the western side of the home does not seem to work due to the significant grade changes. The top of foundation is set at 711.5, and the elevation along the western property line varies from 704 to 705 approximately. This side of the property is suited for a partially exposed basement. Therefore, a garage is proposed to be located on the east side of the house with the driveway somewhat closer than 100 feet to the center line of the adjacent intersection. The access restriction is proposed to be amended to allow for the center line of the driveway to be reduced by 12.3 feet. So it would be set back a distance of 87.7 feet from the center line of the intersection of 94th Avenue and 94th Court to the driveway. The staff has taken a look at this and finds no objection to the request and recommends approval.
How did this happen?
Well, I guess what happened was basically they were proposing to do a certain type of a home on the lot, but there's a significant grade change from the corner, the south east corner of this lot to the next lot over. There's like a 7-foot grade change. So based on the style of the home that you pick, it could cause some significant problems. So they shifted it over as far as they could. They're working with a home that's going to have a walkout or a lookout basement, and we pushed it as far away from the intersection as possible. The other option would be, or could be, that the driveway could come off of 94th Avenue. And since 94th Avenue serves as a local collector through that development and all the way up through Prairie Ridge, it's best that the driveway actually come off of 94th Court rather than 94th Avenue. So the staff recommends that based on the grade elevations and the changes and the placement of the home, and to avoid it being placed on the local arterial, we recommend that it be approved.
Is there going to be any drainage problems from one lot to the next with the grade difference?
The developers here, you could ask him specifically that question, but they're designed so that that doesn't happen.
I heard that before.
Yes.
They're leaving the existing drainage patterns where they are. They are not amending them.
Give us your name and address for them.
Dustin Harp, 7530 39th Avenue. Like she said, we're not actually changing any of the lot line grades. We just want to drop the originally we had the garage on the left, but it was going to be way too steep for anybody to mow or really do anything with it. So if we're able to flip-flop it like this, we can then drop the grade on the left side of the house and then reduce that to maybe 2.5-foot pitch where it's more manageable. So if anything, the water's not going to rush as fast on there, but the lot lines are staying exactly the same. I'm not sure how that went through in the first place, but it is what it is, I guess.
Make a motion to approve to amend the access restriction.
Second.
Motion by Clyde, second by Monica. Any discussion? Gene, I notice out there a lot of the water shutoffs are located in the driveways. Is there a reason for that? Or?
They shouldn't be, but village engineer?
It's easy to find them.
No,
a lot of them are
be.
Filled in with cement. We have some harder to shut off than you have to shut them off. Yeah. So.
The laterals or the services were obviously put in before their homes were built. The only thing I know now is that when they build a house and they do have the shutoff is in the driveway, we make them sign an indemnification that if we ever have to go in there. But I don't know why, again, this is the way it was set up originally. I don't know why there's a propensity of so many of them there. I can't tell you.
Okay.
It has to be caught when they're doing the plan review. If they don't catch it at plan review and look at where the lateral is, then they're going to approve the plan with the driveway wherever it is. So that's something that the village should catch ahead of time when we have it.
I mean, we've caught a bunch of them since I've been here that are in the driveway, and we make them change it.
Well, by flip-flopping the driveway, probably you'll miss it that way. So. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item G, consider resolution 13-14, authorizing the writing off of the assets. The initial cost under $5,000.
We need to do item 8G first.
Item what?
8G.
This is AG, yeah.
That's not writing off assets.
Okay.
Hit the Ron Sierra invoice.
Hmm?
Ron Sierra invoice.
That's H.
H. And mine it says G.
Uh-huh.
Magic. Okay.
Yeah, mine says G, too. It's right.
Get the chief to look into that. So which one would you like to do first, sir?
Chair's privilege. I'm just bringing it up.
We're going to go with G.
That's what's up there. Mr. President of the Village Board, this resolution is before you. Back in September 2011, the Village Board approved a change in the fixed asset capitalization policy, increasing the capitalization value from $2,000 to $5,000. The Village Finance Department is currently in the process of cleaning up our databases because we are going through a software conversion with Tyler with an implementation go-live date for fixed assets of October 1st, this October 1st, 2013. I'm asking to write off assets with initial cost of $5,000 and less. These assets in total a little less than $2 million, but their current book value is about around $450,000. These assets were purchased over the last 20-plus years across both government and enterprise funds, and whereas the recommended write-off is only 3% of our current fixed asset book value of $15 million. Included in your packet is a summary by fund of how much the book value and the asset value is by fund, and then there's also a detailed listing of all the assets that we're looking at writing off. So I'm therefore recommending writing off these assets, and if you have any comments or questions on my recommendation.
Fine. Kathy, looking on the list that there's items, let's just say, take prior to 1990. I guess I see some that still have, well, how do I want to phrase this? Before we treated assets under 5,000, before we went to the 5,000 limit, why do we still have items purchased before, let's say, 1990, that have not been depreciated fully? If we have a book value on items that are that old, what?
There's probably not a book value on the ones prior to 1990. They have an actual initial value prior to 1990. Our asset values, you can see some of these assets were actually less than 2,000 prior to, I'm not sure when we changed to 2,000, but we were at 500 when I first started in the early 90s. So the summary by year is the initial value of these assets. Mm-hmm. The book value of a lot of that stuff prior to 1990 is zero probably. As we get closer to in the late 2000s, 2010, 2011, those actually have value to them right now. But the earlier stuff, this is just the actual initial cost of these items that were still in the books.
Okay, so what you're saying is what the book value, current book value, the $450,000 are all the recent, more recent items from 2010, 2011?
Yes. The stuff, all these assets are on our books, and these are initial cost of them, and some were prior to 1990 up through 2011.
Okay. Everything has been written off.
We haven't written anything off in terms of.
Not written off, but depreciated in full.
Yes. Okay. They were depreciated in full. Except for the later years, and those have a value of $451,000. There could be some little value in the earlier years, but the majority of the value is actually in the more recent years.
Okay, so we were writing, we were depreciating everything.
We're depreciating the assets, yeah.
All right.
So this will clean up our database and have only assets $5,000 or more on our database from in all years.
Then I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Clyde and second by Monica. Any further discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item H. This is considered the denial of an invoice submitted by Ron Sierra for perceived use payments on parcel 93-4-123-203-0200. Mike?
Mr. President, we received a bill from Mr. Carlos Sierra contending that the village owes him $500 a day for what he perceived as diminished use of his property. He does have property that's in the Carroll Beach area. It's in the primary environmental corridor. There are steps and processes where he can apply to the state and the federal government for a delineation of his property to determine what's buildable and what isn't. That was done previously, and he allowed that to expire. That doesn't mean once it's expired that there is no limitations. Such as that, you know, my recommendation is that his claim that we owe him $500 a day for the use of his property, I'd recommend that be denied. I've also included in your packet correspondence from Attorney Mayhew, who contacted the Army Corps of Engineers in the state, indicating that Mr. Sherry has the opportunity to proceed with a development of the parcel, and there's some steps he needs to follow to do that. But the first step isn't to build a village for, you know, his perceived loss of use. So with that, I'd recommend that the claim be denied from the current list of claims.
Motion to deny.
Do you make a motion? I'll second it with a question.
Motion by Steve, second by Mike. Mike?
Is this a, I know it's Mr. Sierra, is this the same parcel we had discussion on a few years back?
Right.
Yeah.
Things just don't change.
I remember that case, yes.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item I, the consent agenda, with items 1, 2, 3, which is the approval of an operator license, applications on file, operator license applications on file, and approve the police and fire commission reappointment.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Clyde, second by Mike. Any discussion on any of the items? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item 9, village board comments.
I have one tonight, Mr. President. A couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to spend 24 hours at Station 1 with Lieutenant Holm and his crew. And I have to tell you, the new hires are very impressive. A couple years ago, we went through and we did a mass hiring to get our staff up to where it needs to be. And to spend 24 hours with these guys and to see the knowledge that they have and the care and the service that they provide, it was really astounding. Thank you, Chief, for allowing me to do that. I really appreciate it. I saw a lot. I only slept for about 4 hours. So it was a busy night.
No. Brings us to item 10, consider entering into executive session pursuant to section 19.85, paren 1, paren C, and 19.85, paren 1, G, Scott's stats relating to personal matters and to confer with legal counsel for the governmental body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved.
Second.
Do we need a roll call vote on this?
Yep. Roll call.
Motion by Mike. Who seconded?
Me.
Monica?
John Steinberg?
Aye.
Monica Yuhas?
Aye.
Steve Kamarkowitz?
Aye.
Clyde Allen?
Aye.
Mike Serpy?
Aye.
And the board will return to open session for the purpose of adjournment only. No other business will be conducted.